It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Higher prices are straining independent restaurants that are part of the fabric of the communities we live in. And industry economists tell The Wall Street Journal that wages for waitstaff, for table bussers and line cooks, they're all growing more expensive and cutting into slim profit margins. We check in on how restaurants in Wisconsin are faring with Luke Zahm, the co-owner of Driftless Cafe in Viroqua and host of Wisconsin Foodie on PBS Wisconsin. And you can be part of the conversation. Call in with a question. Share your thoughts on eating out. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Luke, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Oh my gosh, it's so good to hear your voice again, Kate. How are you?
I'm doing well. Well, I want to start out with the cost that we see in restaurants. Consumer Price Index said March restaurant prices rose by over 4% since last year. What effects are you seeing out there on restaurants?
Well, you know, the restaurant like financial equation is perilous at best. I think on a national average, most restaurants, if they're lucky enough to turn a profit, it's between 4% and 5% of the total sales that they end up taking home at the end of the year. So it's very difficult when we see inflation come through, you know, and we feel as restaurateurs, like we need to be advocates to pay our staff's living wages, to keep up with the cost of living. You know, those numbers get real dicey. And about the only recourse available to restaurateurs or people selling food to the public is raising the prices a little bit. Of course, there's an associated sticker shock with that. When we go out to eat, we have an expectation. Some of us, you know, live within a budget. So it becomes much, much harder to kind of game plan like how we spend that money. But as a whole, the restaurant industry is very, very resilient, as we showed during COVID. And we're trying to find ways and resources and you know, create experiences that are memorable for people coming in without hitting them in the wallet too hard.
Well, you know, food isn't like a discretionary thing. I mean, we need to eat to live. Do the menu price fluctuations at all affect customer habits? I mean, what impact do they really have on the frequency that they would go to a restaurant?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, and I think it comes down to the model and style of the restaurant. Quite frankly, you know, some of the dining habits of people, you know, maybe they get a little bit more selective about when they go out or what they go out for. You know, fast casual restaurants in the state of Wisconsin and across the nation have been extremely successful since the pandemic. People kind of got into that habit of going out and having a casual transaction that they maybe notice more now. In hindsight, like, wow, suddenly to take my family of four out to even, you know, do fast food is pushing $40 to $50. And I think that sometimes they cut back on the fine dining a little bit and use that for special occasions. You know, going to a restaurant, knowing that you're going to spend good money for good food, is definitely in the minds of some of the consumers who, you know, undoubtedly support Wisconsin's restaurants.
I want to look a little bit closer here at staffing. Bureau of Labor Statistics says the leisure and hospitality industry has yet to reach its pre-COVID employment peak in Wisconsin. So how well-staffed are restaurants that you hear about and for yourself as well?
So the cafe is a little bit of an anomaly in the fact that, you know, we live in Viroqua, Wisconsin, population 4,500. We have a lot of chefs that want to come to Viroqua because they believe in the good food ethos that we have here in Southwest Wisconsin. And so, you know, we've had to do a couple different pivots. We've worked with a couple of local community partners to offer housing to chefs coming in so they can, you know, have a place to land specifically in a small community and better understand like what they need as a human when they arrive in a small town and participate in, you know, the Driftless Cafe. for other restaurants, I know that, you know, cooks and dishwashers, servers, bartenders, management, all of that is in relatively tight supply. And a lot of that is due to like the, you know, the reaction when we were asked to pivot during COVID and figure out like, how do we keep people safe? How do we keep serving food? How do we keep generating payroll for our staff to keep them employed? You know, a lot of restaurateurs saw ways to, you know, increase their efficiency. And sometimes fine dining is like the entire experience is meant to foster that idea of hospitality, which can be kind of the death of efficiency. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we see a lot of restaurants going either in one direction, which is, you know, we are going to have the most streamlined, financially successful and healthy model that we can create. The other ones are, you know, the outliers who embrace the intentional inefficiency and really try and create memorable dining experiences for people coming through the door. Maybe not with as much regularity as they did pre-COVID, but at the same time, you know, really trying to maximize their value and their experience.
Talking with Luke Zahm, restaurant owner and the host of Wisconsin Foodie, you can join in questions and comments as we discuss the restaurant scene, perhaps in your community, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Luke, there are costs that I don't think about when I'm dining out, like when I reach for the sugar packet for my iced tea, or, you know, the cost of the product that's used to wipe down tables or to wash the floors. What might some of those overhead costs be that we just don't see in restaurants that are invisible?
Yeah. You know, the invisible costs. Every time that you finish a meal and you decide, you know, like, I can't finish this, there's too much food, I'll take a to-go box. You know, I know with the cafe, those are 47 cents a box for us. Mm-hmm. That's not a cost that we usually build into the front end of the food and the labor model. So there's little incremental costs all along the way. If it's pizza boxes, if we are serving a pie to go as opposed to a pie in house, you know, that's another dollar that like the restaurant takes on. All of that, because a lot of those are sourced through big box, and I say that ironically, not big box retailers, but you know, when we're talking about broadline retailers, most restaurateurs don't necessarily have control if you're ordering from Performance Food Group or from Sysco or whomever you're getting a lot of your broadline supplies from, your paper goods. And sometimes those fluctuate wildly depending on what's going on in the larger restaurant market. And it can be very, very difficult to put your finger on that actual price and understand how that actually affects your total profit at the end of the day. Most restaurateurs don't get into the business to, you know, really study and pinch the pennies all the way through the operation. But, you know, everything that you see in that restaurant has a cost assigned to it. And if restaurateurs are buying those products and ingredients for, you know, the customer experience, if it's your sugar packet for your tea, if it's real maple syrup on the menu for the pancakes, if it's, you know, locally sourced honey, all of those things kind of add up at the end of the experience. And it comes down to like the drive of the restaurateur to ensure that that customers really, really do have that ability to come into the space, relax, and take away one of our many Wisconsin food experiences.
Which makes me wonder, though, as all of these input costs vary and sometimes vary wildly, what is the talk out there about dynamic pricing and changing your menu prices just based on those input costs?
Yeah, you know, that's kind of where the sticker shock comes in with a lot of consumers. And if there's one thing that I can say as a restaurateur, you know, people expect, enjoy, and appreciate consistency. It's really easy in a restaurant situation to look at like the food, you know, when it comes out, we get a pizza, it's burnt, or, you know, things have changed the ingredients and they're not as high quality. So, you know, maybe you get a pizza that's a little less, I guess, incredible. And maybe you're coming back to this idea of like what you remember the restaurant experience like. You know, when we get into that dynamic pricing, automatically when diners sit down, they're confronted with a change. Humans, as we well know, sometimes fear change. and so automatically you start that hospitality experience off with the sticker shock or, you know, going through like, I don't understand dynamic pricing. Like, what is this market price? I think we've all been in a situation when we wanted to order that special item off the menu and we go through the rigmarole with the server, like what is the market pricing? How is that determined? You know, just to get an understanding if that's the entree that we truly want to purchase or if it's something that we can live without at that moment. My philosophy on that is, you know, we want to have customers come in, feel like they can have a little bit of an expectation what they're about to get into financially, emotionally, experientially at the Driftless Cafe, and then feel confident moving forward. And a lot of times, specifically in economies like ours, price ends up being a little bit of a deterrent. So we see people come in and maybe not be able to get the food that they wanted, but we try and make sure that they walk away with everything and more in the restaurant experience.
Chef Luke Zahm, co-owner of Driftless Cafe in Viroqua, host of Wisconsin Foodie and PBS Wisconsin, as we check in on the stability, the vitality of local restaurants. And you can bring your perspective. Call in with a question, share comments, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Stubborn inflationary pressures make it difficult for independent restaurants to turn a profit. The publication Restaurant Hospitality describes it as tough sledding, but independent restaurant operators are tough people, and many have found new ways to stay afloat and continue serving their communities. As we focus on the vitality of Wisconsin restaurants, call in with a question. You can share your thoughts at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Luke Zahm is here, co-owns the Driftless Cafe in Viroqua, as host of Wisconsin Foodie on PBS Wisconsin. Okay, Luke, this is a bit of the fun part here. There's a new report estimates over 3/4 of consumers are excited about new food options at restaurants this year. What food trends are exciting you?
Well, you know, that's a tough question for me because I'm always excited by the idea and the ability to get more localized ingredients, specifically ones that come from the upper Midwest and Wisconsin. I mean, it's no secret that that's my MO. But some of the other food service trends that I see, like, you know, fast casual dining options. It doesn't have to be the case where, you know, restaurateurs go in and they have this grand concept to do 120 seats and pump out food on a volume that, you know, quite frankly, is a little bit unsustainable in this labor market. And so smaller restaurants, you know, independently owned restaurants that have fast casual ideals, that highlight more of like Wisconsin's ethnic diversity, I think are some of the things that I look for when I travel to smaller municipalities all over the state. I want to taste the flavors of Wisconsin that are a little bit outside the box, you know, and I think that the Wisconsin right now and the nation in general is really kind of looking towards those trends. So if it's global flavors with local ingredients, well, local farm stories, you know, those things are always so, so exciting for me. But I see a lot of smaller restaurants popping up, if it's Madison, Milwaukee, Superior, where it's people putting out their values, putting out their ideas for food and finding ways to accomplish that with less dining seats. And oftentimes that is like the fast casual market, which is great.
Well, I'm going to push you on outside the box because trillions of cicadas are about to emerge. Are you considering, you know, sautéing, frying up any cicada apps.
Are you asking me if I'll cook insects in the cafe?
Yes, well,
sure. You know, I've done this before where, you know, chapulines using crickets, you know, that will sometimes bring in from Mexico, doing special dinners that, you know, really highlight that as a protein source. Sure. You know, I think that there's a way to actually get diners through that experience into something that is delicious and memorable and kind of fun. You know, most of us have that childhood association with, like, did you eat worms? Did you not eat worms? You know, all those things are kind of fun. You know, whether or not the dining public leans into that, that is going to be a little bit of a difficult sell. You know, I think I will say that more than likely we won't be serving cicadas, Kate. I just want to put that out there for everybody.
That's okay, but, Luke. That's okay.
Yeah, thank you. You know, I may mess with them a little bit on my own term, but, you know, to ask people to come in and do a quesadilla with cicadas in it, albeit they would be local, you know, may not be the jam. Well, if I can get local cicadas, I'll consider it. How about that?
Okay, we'll leave it at that. But, you know, here's something we are leaning into, and that is the reality TV show Top Chef. And I want to get your hot take on the show. What are you thinking?
Well, the Top Chef effect is real, you know. And Top Chef is one of the longest running and most successful reality cooking shows on television. And what people see from that is locations where Top Chef is filmed. You know, people from all over the United States and the world come into those places in order to have their own experience. I think it's great for Wisconsin. You know, a good friend of mine has been quoted often saying, like, Wisconsin is having her moment.
Oh.
And as a kid who grew up in Lafarge, Wisconsin, population 745, you know, I've been fighting my whole career to get people to dispel the notion that, like, Wisconsin and the upper Midwest is culinary flyover country. When a production like Top Chef decides that they are going to land in the state of Wisconsin and highlight some of our specialty foods, our cheeses, our farmers, you know, our interesting citizens, that actually is a very, very real growth in awareness. And, you know, you're going to see a lot of people come to Wisconsin in order to have, you know, a similar experience for themselves, which is great. It's great. We're having our moment. we're no longer culinary flyover country. You know, they hate us because they ain't us when it comes to our cheeses.
And this is how we do a farmer's market. Like, I mean, come on, let's set an example here.
Exactly. And, you know, going back to all that, you know, when you were talking about dynamic pricing and things like that, one of the things that the cafe we really, really noticed and paid attention to during COVID is when we were buying food and when we are buying food from our local farmers, food producers, artisans, those prices don't actually fluctuate that much. It's based on a system that's more controlled. There's less shipping costs. There's less delay in that. So, you know, those sourcing agents are much more stable for us. And quite frankly, they evangelize our food identity. And I think that that is such a wonderful thing to have experienced and understood. So now when people from across the globe come to Wisconsin to have their culinary experience, hopefully those local farmers and food producers end up on the winning side of that financial equation.
In our last moments together, you know, here we are in that spring season. We're just kind of waiting for those fresh veggies that we know are going to start coming in the summer, early summer. You know, what foods are a must try for restaurant goers, the really fresh stuff? What should we look for?
Okay. You know, I actually went out during the eclipse and went canoeing on the Kickapoo River. And I got into one of my favorite ramp patches. You know, they are about probably a week away, week and a half away from finding their ways onto restaurant menus. And I got to say, like, being able to dig something out of the forest soil and, you know, appreciate it, like the first taste of spring. We're so close. I am so tired of making pickles and root vegetables at the cafe and like trying to reimagine the way to cook the same seven vegetables that we've been working with for 4 months. Look for the vitality in the menus. Look for things that the chefs are excited about. When the servers are coming to you telling you about what's new on the menu, you know, take a risk, try that. See what they're doing with those local foods and local flavors. I guarantee you, it's a blueprint for us as a restaurant community to be able to really express our love and care and excitement about a lot of those ingredients that are coming to us from our forests, our farmers, and our food producers.
Oh, Luke, so good to talk to you. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, thank you for having me. I really appreciate you.
Chef Luke Zahm co-owns Driftless Cafe in Viroqua, hosts Wisconsin Foodie for PBS Wisconsin. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.